Alrighty, Joel Radio's back. Hey there, ladies, gentlemen, kids of all ages. It's Joel Radio. It's Halloween now. You're not listening to this on Halloween, but I don't know. I'm not doing anything on Halloween besides this. I don't think.
What's the appropriate age to stop investing in Halloween as an adult? I mean, now, if you ask Wolfman Mac, he'd say never.
You know what? I want to get to that because I saw Wolfman. Have we both seen Wolfman Mac in the last 10 days? Wow.
Maybe a couple earlier than that for me.
Okay, yeah. Because I also ran into Wolfman Mac.
But within the month, I've seen, yes.
Well, I guess that's when you see him. The rest of the year, he doesn't come
and
out.
He goes back to the...
he gets back to being...
the wolf lair.
Yeah, Wolfman... What was he on? About 2 years ago, I think he came
I
in.
I haven't seen
me.
Our other spooky friend, John Tenney.
Well, John just had his big event.
He had a show last night, yeah.
I know.
Well,
so anyway.
Interestingly, he was local for all of Thanksgiving, all of Halloween.
Yeah. Well,
whereas
I mean,
the rest
that's...
of the rest of the year, he's in some cave in Owensboro, Kentucky. Hunting for Bigfoot.
Isn't he on a cruise ship somewhere?
He goes on cruises. He goes to conventions.
Okay. Well, good for him. I'm glad. Because that's where Tenney seems like he would be happiest. In a boat in the Caribbean. That's where Tenney really seems to, you know, in the sunshine.
John is really just happy, like, at a used bookstore.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really where John's happy. Yeah. But, you know, anyway. If you're a long-time listener to the show, you know who John Tenney is.
John seems to be any place with vintage records and a leaky roof seems to be appropriate for John. Your pot
somewhere with like bottomless pots of coffee.
Yeah.
Like a diner. Nobody likes a diner more than John Tenney. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's get on with it.
It is Halloween.
It is Halloween as we're doing
two
this.
Two of our most Halloween addicted friends we could think
of.
Well,
I did Halloween stuff, dude.
Yeah.
I did the Erebus Haunted House in Pontiac, which is where I saw Wolfman Mac.
Yeah.
He was Mac Kelly, though. He was not Wolfman Mac.
Right.
He did the before the, you know, we're going to take your photo and then sell it to you later photos.
Right.
That was his gig. So as you walk in, you know, like if you've been to any tourist attraction, theme park, anything, they try to sell you the photo.
Mm-hmm.
I had this happen to me once. The weirdest place, I guess, was I was at an Italian restaurant in Little Italy in New York City. And the guy came around with a digital camera, took our photo, and then handed us an 8x10 print of it.
Yeah, I don't want
that. After eating.
I don't want that.
It's like, so they went and they printed out the photo and then said, do you want this photo? Now, at like Erebus and these other ones, it's like you look at it on a screen and then you go, okay, I'll take that. And they print it out.
The
Italian restaurant, they went and printed that shit out for you.
Well, they always do that shit when you're like coming down the log flume.
Yeah, there's that too. It's kind of the same
thing. You're like,
deal,
I don't want that. I don't.
But they had some Halloween props.
Mm-hmm.
I think I took a machete and held it to my girlfriend's neck. A fake machete for the purposes of a photograph.
Did you go as OJ?
Exactly. I was. she was Nicole Simpson.
Yeah.
And Corey was the waiter.
Yeah. That's what got Megyn Kelly fired. So you got to watch out for doing blackface on Halloween.
Couldn't
pose as OJ.
I can't be. Wasn't the OJ mask probably like a big, isn't that a big mask?
Yeah, it was a very popular mask for
But is it? Okay, can you be OJ?
What was it? Was it Time or Newsweek had, like, they made the cover of him much darker? Do you remember? That was
I forget which one did it.
That was a controversy. They put the mugshot up, but they, like, digitally darkened it.
Actual question.
Yeah.
Can you be OJ? Because OJ is already, like, a bad guy. Because if you just go, I'm going to be blackface, then that's racist to all black people. But if you're just going to be OJ, because OJ is a disgraced criminal, double murderer.
What if I went as OJ dressed as Freddy Krueger?
I guess that would work. I don't know.
I
don't know.
There's a great photo I saw the other day that was Felicia and Ahmad Rashad's wedding.
Yes.
And yes. On either side of them, we're OJ and Cosby.
OJ and Cosby. That's a great photo. I think I had that on my Facebook a couple years ago. Anyway, so Erebus, we went there, the world's largest haunted house, Corey.
That's as they so they say.
Well, here's what I'm going to give you. It's in Pontiac, Michigan. So I'm going to give you a piece of advice. If you want to save $20 and just be scared in Pontiac, go to the liquor store. and you'll be terrified. It'll be amazing. No need for guys to pop out of the wall. These will be actual felons and thugs.
Walking down Pontiac.
Yeah, you will actually be attempted murder will happen for real.
Well, there's like a hospital right down there.
In the city of Pontiac, yeah.
Downtown Pontiac, and there's like a methadone clinic. And,
it's kind of an abandoned, weird downtown.
Pontiac has been, as long as I've been alive, waiting for the comeback is going to happen.
Yeah, it's happening.
And what will happen is one or two places will be restored.
Yeah.
Night, there's the what's the Crowfoot Theater?
There's like three nightclub concert venues. Then there's like two little theaters.
Yeah,
and that's about it.
And,
I mean,
and
there's...
and there'll be like somebody will put some money in. There'll be a nice restaurant, or bar.
Yeah,
and then they're like, well, any minute now, the revolution's coming, and then there won't.
Yeah, it's
there was in the I want to say back in the like early 90s, there was a big dance club, big techno dance club.
Yeah, that's still there.
Called Industry.
Yes.
It's been changed names.
It's changed names, but there is one there, yes, in that location.
And that was like, everybody was like, wow.
Yeah.
And then for like, 2 years or so, that block was hopping, and there were a bunch of, and then it turned into a cowboy bar.
Well, that's still the block, and that's the block that Erebus is on.
Right.
So it's not like
but it never sweeps the entirety of the city.
Who would go, I mean... Pontiac is either going to be populated by people from Pontiac, of which those people ain't going to the bar or the restaurant, because, you know, they're just...
Pontiac's about 30 miles north of Detroit.
It's not that many people, and the people that are there, probably that ain't their thing. And then if you're from the burbs, or you're from a surrounding city, why would you... you can just go to...
Well...
All that stuff is where you live already, so why do you need that?
It's supposed to be a downtown, you know, all these...
A destination.
The Metro Detroit area is this massive sprawl. And within it, occasionally, there are sub-cities that sort of... like, Birmingham is fed by all the other Bloomfields and stuff that are around it, and that's kind of the nighttime downtown of that area. Pontiac has never drawn anything but just more crackheads.
It's not good. But anyway, let's back to Erebus. Enough about Pontiac.
Yes.
Enough about the geopolitical layout of Metro Detroit.
Sure.
That's not doing anybody any good. But this Erebus is the world's greatest haunted house, and, you know, you wait a good... We waited. We got there early and still waited an hour to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Then after Wolfman Max photos, it was probably another 30 minutes till the actual... As we walked up steps and stood in hallways and... With spooky music playing. You're largely walking around in the dark. There are sort of Disney-esque animatronic things. There's way fewer than I thought of guys dressed as scary people jumping out at you. They're in there. But it ain't a lot of that. There's a hall of mirrors. There is some laser lights and fog, which looks spooky. At one point, a million, like, ping pong ball kind of things fall on your head in a dark room.
Yeah.
I mean, which, you know, like I said, it is very Disney.
Is it supposed to be, like, the, you know, the attractions, like, the built-up sets and stuff, or no?
I mean, you go from room to room, and there's different themes. Yeah.
Well, because the later seasons of Wolfman Mac were shot at...
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, they got to do something with that place.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure they make their money for 6 weeks. And
those guys own the whole building.
Yes.
And
they use the whole building for that stupid thing. Because you walk so much. I mean, it takes about 45 minutes to get out of that thing, you know, of the actual attraction. And it is all walking. So it's a big building, and you're going up and down and into basements.
And they let Mac have a corner of one of the upper floors to build the studio.
Sure, okay, yeah.
So... but yeah, it's a huge thing, but they're only, you know, September, October, that's it.
Yeah, and what good for them. I'm sure the rent's not much on a abandoned block of Pontiac. I don't think it's that hard to, you know, I'm sure they're doing great, but, but at you know, here's the problem with all of these things, is they're all hype.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that's like, this is the scariest haunted house in the world. And then you do it. Here's the psychology. As I've explained on this show, psychology is everything. Here's how the psychology of like an Erebus works. They put up billboards, flyers, websites, whatever. This is the scariest haunted house in the world. So then you, the customer, gets excited to go, to go to the scariest haunted house in the world. Then you go through the haunted house, but it's not that scary. But the psychology is you have to tell people, oh, I survived the scariest haunted house in the world, so then you don't feel like an idiot who got rooked for $20. You know what I mean? So you feed into their own hype, even though it's disappointing.
But isn't that how everything in the world
works?
Well,
but I mean, that is, but I think specifically haunted houses, because haunted houses are universally disappointing. You could see a movie that people say is great, and you will also say it's great, and it is legitimately great. You could also, that people could tell you something, you know what I mean? But because it is sort of this exclusive thing that you can only do for several weeks a year, and it's hard to get into because there's big giant lines and it's somewhat expensive, people don't want to feel like, hey, that sucked, don't go to it. Well, people want to tell you how great it is, even though it wasn't.
That's child psychology. There's a new restaurant.
That's it. Well, restaurants, exactly.
There's a new restaurant in town that is over by where my wife and I live, and it's a hot new restaurant.
Yeah.
And we went in there, and there was ample seating.
Yeah.
There were seats at the bar.
Sure.
There were seats in the back room.
Yeah.
It was full.
Yeah.
And they go, well, it's a 45-minute wait.
Yeah. They always do that.
And they're just telling you it's a 45-minute wait.
Yeah.
And I looked over and I'm like, I'm just going to go sit at the bar. And I went and got, I went and found a manager.
Yeah, right.
I went, is your hostess just telling people that there's a 45-minute wait so you look better? And he knew I was onto him.
Well.
And he was like, no, you can sit at the bar. And I'm like, but that's your bullshit.
Well.
Like, either you have a disorganized organization where
possibility.
They don't know how to seat people, or they're like, if we tell people there's a 40-minute wait, then they think that they're getting something.
There's that, or.
And that's a restaurant.
Again, this could be me ripping on you, and I'm not, but they could also go like, yeah, for you, there's a 40-minute wait, but. Some rich guy could roll in.
Yeah.
Some big spender could roll in, and then they go, here's a...
This isn't that exclusive a restaurant.
I think they...
You know what I mean? This is not, like...
I think they give you the worst-case scenario.
Yes.
And they go, it's going to be 40 minutes. And then you go, okay, I'll stay. And then in 10 minutes, they take it, and you're like, oh, wow. These guys are on it. It was going to be 45, but now it's 10.
They under-promise and
over-deliver. These guys are happening. Yeah. Well, the restaurant industry is a complete... You know, I was thinking about this the other day.
But I'm on to those tricks.
And
And by the way, inevitably, I'm annoyed when you tell me there's a 45-minute wait.
This is what I was thinking about restaurants, and you're probably one of these guys. And it's not your fault. It's just who you are, and it's one of the pitfalls of that industry. Is that guys who like restaurants will always want to go to the new restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys that go to the new one, they don't go a second time because there's always a new restaurant.
Yes.
And so isn't that the problem with having a hot restaurant is
restaurants,
it's hot. Everybody goes once and then they go to the new hot thing and then they never go back to your thing. And then your thing's not hot anymore. And then nobody goes.
I don't know. It's a very there's a place called Green Dot Stables.
Yeah.
Which is
I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have sliders.
Yeah.
It's like gourmet sliders.
There's like 30 kinds of sliders or something. Is that fair to say?
Maybe less than that. The menu rotates all the time.
Yeah.
You know, there's always changing stuff on the menu. But like, you know, it's kimchi sliders.
Tiny hamburgers.
And pulled pork. And, you know, there's a mystery meat. And sometimes they do lobster and all. You know, there's a rotating menu. But they're really delicious little sliders. Even if you just get the regular cheeseburger.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good food. I've been there.
Right. And everything on the menu is like $3.
Yeah.
And so you go, wow, what a deal.
Yeah.
Then you order 8 sliders.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, not such a deal.
Yeah, it's not a deal.
But it works. The psychology works.
Sure,
that place is always packed.
Well, it's the dollar store.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're pulling a bit of and I'm not slamming those guys. And they have cheap drinks, too, which is good for them.
Right.
Because other places will go, that'll be a $9 beer.
Yeah.
And these guys are like, that's $3.25. And then you order 3 beers. And you're getting the same, you know.
Right.
They're getting their $9 out of you anyway.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Yeah, but I feel like
you're right about that, though, that people want. I've noticed.
People are just constantly looking for the new. I mean, a certain type of person.
What's really interesting, some things.
I'm not that person, but you are.
Well,
on some level.
Well, I've noticed there's two foods in this town.
Yeah.
That people over-criticize.
Yeah.
They're very hard on. And that is barbecue.
Okay.
And tacos.
Okay.
And they both want every barbecue and taco experience to be this, like, they want your soul to elevate up to the barbecue heaven.
Transformative experience from eating
every time.
Pulled
and so
pork.
Slo's, which is like the first hipster restaurant that opened in a corner of Detroit that's now vibrant.
Yeah.
That was fairly, it had like two Irish bars.
Mm-hmm.
Once they closed Tiger Stadium, everybody bailed out of there. Those guys opened a hipster restaurant and it changed that entire dynamic for that whole neighborhood.
Okay.
But yet people love to shit on it.
Yeah.
It's still popular. It still seats people. It's still doing well. But if you tell people, you can't say Slo's without people going, oh, well, they suck.
I can tell you why they suck, Corey.
Yeah.
Because your grandmother went there.
That's right.
Why
it's not. It's not cool.
Your
anymore.
Grandmother went there, and now it's not cool.
Once it's not cool,
because your grandma's onto it. You know, auntie and uncle went, and now it's not hip anymore.
Well, kids abandoned Facebook long ago.
Sure,
WhatsApp
whatever. That's
they're on
what they
something that's exactly the goddamn same. Except,
Corey knowing what the kids are on the next Stroller Radio.
You know what I mean, though? They're on, actually, the kids are on Twitch, which is where they watch each other play video games.
There is that.
Which makes no fucking sense.
Nah, they're on a lot of things. They're on things we don't know about.
There's a zillion little apps, and then, if they're white supremacists, they're on Gab.
Of course.
And then that's getting shut down.
Well, good for them. By the way, you shut down everything. I'm all right.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know? I mean, Netflix. You can take Netflix. I'll be all right. Shut down that.
Well, all right. Speaking
it's got to be something on there that's offensive to
speaking
somebody.
Speaking of shutting down.
Take that.
Speaking of shutting down streaming services.
What do you want to shut down?
Well, Filmstruck.
Yeah.
Just got shuttled.
Yeah.
Which was the Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah.
And then they partnered with somebody else. And the Criterion Collection was on there.
Okay. Yeah.
Or a good chunk of it. And this is why I still collect Blu-rays.
Yes. And well, you just described why they shut down.
Because people buy...
The guys that are doing that are buying Blu-rays.
Right.
And so if you're buying Blu-rays, you don't need the service.
The collectors don't want the service.
And then if you buy the service, you don't. Yeah, it's kind of,
I think,
it's a chicken and the egg in reverse.
There are millions and millions of people who don't give a shit about anything else, and they just want to watch the thing one time and they stream it or whatever.
Right.
But if you're a devotee or if you're a fan of the thing, you probably want it as a physical copy that you can go back to and watch.
What you're missing, and I think I read an article about Filmstruck, and I think it was in there, but towards the bottom, is that AT&T is opening a streaming service. They own Warner Brothers.
Well, and that's
they're going to have a streaming service with original content, and they're going to use the Warner library as a backbone of that. And why have a redundant service?
And these are they're all doing that, though.
Yeah,
all,
and that's a year away. That's, I think, fall of 2019.
A bunch
of
the Marvel Netflix shows just
canceled. Those are gone, too,
Because Disney's opening.
Yeah, well, it's all right. Hey.
And this, I don't want to sit around and wait for this streaming service battle to play out.
No, it already is.
The great thing is they get everybody to cancel cable. Because cable's astronomically expensive.
Right. Yeah.
Then everybody quits cable. Then they all buy $7.99 a month subscription plans.
Yeah.
And then they've got 15 of those.
Yeah, now
and
they're
it's
back
like
to,
the cheeseburgers at the Green Dot Stable.
Well,
you think you're buying a deal.
That's it.
And you're buying 15 different streaming services.
But at the end of the day, it's not about streaming services. It's not about movies. It's not about content. It's about how economies work. And ultimately, the economies, restaurants and streaming are the same business. Haunted houses. Netflix, they're the exact same fucking thing. It's all about the economy.
Well,
it's all about how many people are buying this. What is your volume? What is your price?
Well,
Filmstruck wasn't doing enough volume at that price. So, I mean, if you have to imagine whatever that they're earning for that library.
Well, I hadn't purchased a Filmstruck subscription.
Yeah, well,
because,
look at you dick.
No, because I was like waiting to see how it turned out. But I'm saying,
Corey bemoaned streaming service he failed to subscribe to.
Look at all these people that I thought it was a good idea, but I was waiting to see how it shook out.
Well,
and look at all the people that bought into MoviePass.
Yeah.
And then MoviePass collapsed.
Well, they had a bad business model, which was opposite of this. But isn't the failure... Okay, but you're bemoaning a million streaming services. Now one goes out of business. That is ultimately leading you to what you want, which is one at an affordable price.
Well...
So why are you bemoaning this? I mean, I know because
I think that the company...
This is what you want.
But you're right about the economy and what ultimately always shakes out in the economy.
Yeah.
Why do stores like Walmart prosper?
Sure.
All in one convenience.
Yeah.
And people wanted Netflix because they thought, oh my God, look at all the movies that are available.
Yes.
Now, they're in their fucking pea brains. They think, oh, everything I want to watch is on Netflix.
Yeah.
But if you're a real film person,
no, you know, it's,
you
that's
know
not
that
the case.
That's
sure,
garbage and that the MGM, the Warner archives, all that shit is not all together in this.
Yes.
You're not scratching the surface. So I would love to have a classic movie streaming service that really was good and sustainable, but they aren't. And that's, I'm just saying, I don't trust streaming a lot.
I mean,
because you never know when stuff's going to get taken away.
You don't. And that is a problem with the service.
There's an anime service called Crunchyroll.
Okay.
And there's Funimation is one of the anime producers. Well, Funimation split off to do its own streaming service.
Go.
Took all their content off Crunchyroll.
Of course.
So people were like, do I want two anime fucking things? No.
Here's the thing is, the Filmstruck library, Corey, will be available if there is a demand for it and if people can make money for it.
Sure.
And if they can't, it won't be available. And that is the case, you know?
I mean, the premise that everything is available now. Some things are.
Yeah.
Sure. Some crazy things.
More things
never
are more available now than there's ever been available. So in the past, when you had to mail order, look, you know, I was doing Netflix.
Yeah.
In 1998.
When you were sending in the envelopes. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, it was an envelope with a DVD. And it wasn't like, I'm going to pay $10 and get all the movies I can rent.
No.
They were like $4. Or I think it might have been $6 to get a DVD mailed to you.
Okay.
Because DVDs weren't, I mean, if you want to go deep, how deep do you want to go, Corey?
Let's go deep. You want to go beta?
Well, Blockbuster didn't have DVD.
Yeah.
Because DVD was new technology, and they were all invested in VHS tapes. So you couldn't have DVDs. Well, and if here's the thing. Blockbuster, Netflix put Blockbuster out of business because Blockbuster was giving people what they wanted.
Well,
I mean, Netflix was giving people what they wanted when Blockbuster refused because they were married to old technology.
But that happens to businesses all the time.
I understand
I worked at Borders.
Yeah.
I worked at Borders, and they were like, you know, Barnes & Noble is investing in this digital streaming thing, or this digital reader.
Yeah.
We don't think people want that.
Yeah.
And then they did not, and then Borders had a host of problems, but they were too over-leveraged.
Hey, what happened to books? I mean, digital didn't kill bookstores.
No.
Because the Kindles are not that big.
But,
I mean,
you know,
it's...
But a lot of times what we think is something killed this or that. Sears and Toys R Us were not necessarily killed. They were hurt by Amazon, but they weren't killed by Amazon. They were killed by venture capitalists that laid debt upon these organizations that they couldn't. They used them as a leverage pot to get more capital from something else. Toys R Us had a $5 billion tab that was laid on it by the venture capitalists that bought it, and they couldn't get that off their backs. Now, by the way, the brand survived and is coming back as like Jeffrey's Toy Box.
Yeah, that's
so
what we
like,
want.
Well, but what happens is they're like KB collapsed, and then there's no toy stores in malls anymore.
It's
and then people go, how come there's no toy stores in the mall? And then somebody else comes along. Wait,
it's not a mall.
Right. The malls are going away, which in the Midwest is insane.
Yeah.
We have 6 months a year where you don't want to be outside.
Yeah.
Why would you get rid of a mall?
Well, if you watched Adam Ruins Everything, which I do.
Yes, I didn't see the mall.
He did the thing about, it's on Netflix now. They put some of those on Netflix, not all of them, but there's some of them up there. And he did one about the mall.
You can't trust Netflix to put them all on there.
Well, it's up to True TV, who is the producers, or at least the owners of that show, because True TV has no time, because Impractical Jokers is on 20 of 24 hours a day.
True TV is always where you can count on. If there's a successful show, there'll be a crap knockoff on True TV.
Which, by the way, I tell my students, don't worry about doing improv.
Uh-huh.
But here's the four richest men in comedy.
Yeah.
Theoretically, anyway. If based solely on
Byron Allen.
No, but I mean, like, the guys, the Impractical Joker guys, or an improv troupe.
Yeah.
Who made this stupid hidden camera show?
Oh,
if they're getting paid on how much they're on television,
but see,
those guys might be the wealthiest guys in
comedy.
If
you want to talk about economies, improv represents the American economy in micro.
In what way?
The very top 1% of improv comedy are the richest people in the world. And then there's thousands of guys passing a hat for $3.
I think that's probably more true about stand-up. I actually think that improv is...
Well, they're both very
less
similar.
Less than 1%.
No, but I'm saying the very elite improvers are like Stephen Colbert was an improv guy. Or, you know what I mean?
The improv guys get famous.
They go to Second City, then they go to SNL, then they go to whatever.
Improv guys get famous not doing improv.
Right.
They do something else.
True.
But it is
stand-up guys get famous doing stand-up, do something else,
and then go back
get
to stand-up.
Shamed and go back to stand-up.
Jerk off in front of women and then go back to the...
Yeah.
Can we get rid of him? Come on, get the fuck out.
Well,
just go. Louis, go. He's, get out.
He's not... I think he would have been fine. I don't know if he would have been fine, but the recovery process would have been a lot better if he showed up to the cellar.
Yeah.
Because apparently he shows up and just does something else.
Well, he's...
If he showed up to the cellar and went... Wow. What happened? Did I say something? What happened? Like, if he just, like, talked about it, people are willing to forgive you.
No, he needs to go to Penguins in Cedar Rapids, South Dakota.
Start over again?
He needs to be on the Gallagher circuit.
Yeah.
Because you can't walk into the middle of New York City, and I know that's where he's from and stuff, and he lives there.
Sure.
But you can't do that and expect to get away with what you did.
Well,
that's not the place for you right now. And if he was smart, he would know that. And if I was giving him advice, I'd say, well, go to the middle of the country and do it. They're going to forgive you in a way that the New York lefty liberals aren't.
Well,
in this culture.
The Comedy Cellar is literally in a basement.
Yeah.
And it's a small little room. It only seats a couple hundred, really. I mean, in the main area.
Yeah.
And it's not like to him. He's like, I'm working undercover. This is underground.
Yeah, but it's the media the center
but
of the media.
But you're in fucking
world,
New York,
yeah.
And it's also a club where all the famous comics go and work on material.
And there's a million tourists in there every night. It's
now he would also cause a stir though if he showed up at Hilarities in Indiana,
okay,
or whatever, or what's the club in South Bend?
I don't even know if there's one there.
Do you know what I mean? Like if he showed up like there, you're right. Yeah. And if he showed up there, people would go, oh my God, Louis C.K. is
this famous guy is coming.
And it would get on TMZ too.
Yeah, it would, but
I don't think he can go. I think he felt like he could go to the cellar and it's home.
Yeah.
And he could just fuck around.
Yeah.
And Rich Voss isn't going to give him shit.
No.
Because they all know him and they all know, you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to get crap from all the guys there.
Well, it's a room full of perverts. What are they going to do to him?
Yeah.
And that's fine. And then I agree with that. But I just think that it's...
You know what I mean? He's not going to get guff from Colin Quinn.
No,
for showing up at the cellar.
He's doing this wrong.
He needs to do a public apology. That doesn't work for everybody anymore.
No.
I don't think Megyn Kelly's public apology is going to help.
Well, she's got a contract for a lot of money. She's fine. Don't shed any tears for Megyn Kelly.
Can I please, somebody sign me for $38 million, and then I will jizz on a baby on live television and go away with my $38 million.
Well, it's...
Actually, I'd probably do time for that.
Yeah, you're not going to do
something
that.
Something short of doing
you
time.
You would be... I mean, look, if you have a contract and you're agreeing to do this television show, and they say, we don't want you to do this television show, they owe you the money, and it's very simple.
By the way, Roseanne, they burned her to the ground so bad, they made her sell her stake in the show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, although... Let's be honest. They not like she got it out of that.
Well,
she didn't get out of that contract for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. They gave her a bunch of money in advance, and maybe there was some thing back end that she's not going to get because
Roseanne
she's not on the
is
show.
Another one who can go back to her macadamia farm in Hawaii and shut up.
Yeah,
because I saw her on Joe Rogan. I don't know if we talked about this.
No,
she was unpenitent.
Yeah.
She didn't get it. She was like chain smoking.
She's crazy.
She was full of conspiracies about how people were out to get her.
So was Joe Rogan.
Right, right. Well, Joe Rogan is a dumb guy's idea of a smart guy.
Yes, it is. It is.
He's, you know, that's like,
yeah.
Morons think Joe Rogan's a genius.
Well, I saw the meme about, you know, remember when you were a teenager and you had the friend's older brother who sat in his room all day, smoked pot, and talked about conspiracy theories? Now that's Joe Rogan.
And you know what? Look, it's not that I even dislike Joe Rogan. I think he's a good stand-up, and I think when they're talking about comedy or like boxing or MMA, Joe Rogan's insightful.
Right.
When they're talking about politics, Joe Rogan sounds like a nitwit.
Okay.
Then they start talking about HDMA, or they start talking about drugs and stuff. Then he sounds like a real moron.
HDMA.
Whatever. Human growth hormone, HGH. And
it's your 1080p television cable.
Sure. Yeah.
Delivering your drugs over
HDMI.
Over copper
wire.
Well,
if I had drugs that delivered
right
an HDMI signal into my brain.
If you have an HDMA port in the back of your skull, Corey.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
They start talking about psychotropics and shit, and it's like, you're not Dr. Owsley.
But, you know, Joe Rogan believes...
Like, okay, here's a smart comedian.
Yeah.
John Cleese.
Okay.
Went to, like, Oxford.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
the Pythons all went to Cambridge or Oxford.
Yeah.
They're legitimately brilliant people.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan is, like, a fairly smart road comic. But yet, like, dumb guy, like, dumb stoners... Who are watching Twitch, watching guys on Fortnite, or guys doing speed runs on fucking... like, they think Joe Rogan's a brilliant guy.
He's providing... You know, there are guys who... There are people that just believe the answers... You know, the truth is right in front of them, but there's always something else, you know.
The other thing about Joe Rogan...
There's always an answer out there.
Joe Rogan seems to be...
We don't know.
He seems to be susceptible to whoever's on the other side of the chair.
Yeah, sure.
Once in a while, he'll push back on people and go... He pushed back on Roseanne a little bit, like, but not hard enough. He was basically like, oh, you know, you're a comic. We're all crazy. You know, but he did ask her, like, don't you realize what you did was wrong?
Yeah.
But he didn't just flat out ask her, like, do you understand that you can't compare a black woman to a monkey and expect people to like
you? That's his technique.
But he didn't do it.
Well, that's his technique to get people to sit in the chair.
Yes. And Marin doesn't really push people.
No.
Which was kind of his reputation originally.
Yeah.
And he's all floating on a cloud of false... It's not... You know what I mean? It's all nicey-nicey.
Right.
The premise with Marin was that, like, this is a different kind of show. It's just me having a conversation with another person. And it's turned into another step on the promotional tour.
It's absolutely that.
And I like Marc Maron a lot.
Yeah.
I was always a fan of Marc Maron, but he could be doing a better show.
Well, it's also, it becomes the Tonight Show in a sense where you go, all right, who's the guest?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy? Nah, I'll do something else.
Well, that happens a lot of the time on these shows.
But that's because the host themselves, you know, the old Letterman, you used to just watch because it was Letterman. The guests really didn't matter as much because it was like, well, Letterman's going to do what he's going to do. And then you go, well, you know, this guy, you know, Jimmy Fallon's not going to do anything with this person.
Well, Letterman
Mark Maron's not going to do anything with this
Letterman
person.
Letterman used to have antagonistic interviews.
Sure.
And I feel like sometimes they backfire.
But
like he brought on Mr. Rogers to goof on him.
Yeah.
And he turned out he loved Fred. like Fred was great.
All right. Well,
the early Letterman had a tone of like,
but that was you were watching for him.
People, yes.
Marc Maron does not. You can't listen to Marc Maron for Marc Maron anymore because there's just not much there.
Well,
and it's not a knock on him. He does a good job. And I pick and choose what I listen to from him. But I don't
listen to every episode.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna.
Apologies.
No.
No. The.
Who's on the phone?
Hold on a second. We'll talk to this guy.
Call this. Who is this?
Well, this is the podcast crossover.
Oh,
we've been waiting. Is this what this is? Because you caught us mid episode, Sal D'Amelio.
Oh, okay. Well,
is that all right?
That's fine.
Did you have a legitimate question that wasn't you know? Because Corey was just pontificating over here.
Well,
so
we were talking about interviewers, and are you interviewing people, or are you guys just sitting there talking to each other?
No, we're going to interview people. We had Nate Armbruster on, and we're going to have Eric Richards on this week or next week.
All right. Let's tell people what we're talking about. Sal D'Amelio has a podcast now.
Yeah, one of, if you don't have a podcast in this business, you just throw you out.
Tell everybody what it is and where they can get it, Sal.
All right, thanks, Joel. Hey, it's called The Sal and Bob Show with myself and comedian Bob Phillips. And the podcast is basically about visiting steakhouses across the country. We talk about the steakhouses. We eat at them. We promote them. We talk about one-hit wonders every week. And kind of like what you guys do, man. We just talk topical stuff and joke around, and we have guests on there. And we're only 30 minutes long. We don't want to do a long podcast.
No. It's the opposite of us.
That sounds like heaven.
He's seen so much success we've had doing 2 hours.
Wait.
He decided to do 30 minutes.
So you do 30 minutes, 15 of that's talking about Wagyu beef, and then we're out. So I think I love this format. Yeah. This is great. This is...
It's as long as a cigar takes to smoke, Corey. That's the length.
How do you like your porterhouse, Al?
I go with the New York strip almost every time.
Oh, really. Look at that.
That's just my cut of beef.
Now, what was there a purpose to this call? I mean, I'm sure there was, but if you don't want to discuss it now, I'll call you later.
You guys.
No, you're just calling in to plug the show.
Did you tell Sal to call in?
Did you set this up ahead of time?
Yes, I did. Oh, you
like a professional.
You rapscallion.
Hey, look, when Tom Cruise comes out with a $50 million movie, where does he go? He goes to the Tonight Show. I'm going to the best of the best here.
Oh,
what is he? You Bob Hope, you got to go? You can't panel with us? Is that the problem?
Sal, you've done some big shows lately. You did a show with Ben Bailey from Cash Cab recently, and you were at the Comedy Castle backstage with the emotional support animal for John Lovitz.
We talked about that last time. Yeah.
How were those shows?
Sal opened for John Lovitz.
Yeah, they were good. They were good. I mean, you know, Joel, you've been around, you're there. It's the crowd's usually there for him, but you know, I thought I did well in front of him and had a good time.
Yeah, it was a good show. I mean, John had a pretty good show. His piano playing and stuff was real fun. And
that was really funny.
He's a little like more conservative and sort of not politically correct in a way that I think rubbed a few people the wrong way. I think they expected it to be a little like goofy, or you know, people always expect the SNL guys to There's be that no, guy no. on stage, and he kind of wasn't, but I enjoyed it.
No, I enjoyed it too, and you're exactly right. It's like Dave Coulier going up there and not doing, you know, goofy and all
Bullwinkle,
that
yeah.
Not doing well?
Well, look, he did Popeye for 5 minutes, and he was out of material.
Well, I mean, Bob Saget was America's Funniest Home Videos and you know, Full House, and then he's the filthiest comic.
Did you see the news story about Bob Saget? Maybe we should discuss this.
He got married, didn't he?
Well, I don't know if he got married. It might be the case. But he's, just in case you were missing him, he got married to Kelly Rizzo. But there's another big news story about Bob Saget. Corey,
really?
I can't believe you don't know this. I read this today over lunch.
No. What's going on?
Bob Saget to host edgy AFV spinoff Videos After Dark.
Wow.
They are bringing him back to an adult's version of America's Funniest Videos.
Really?
Maybe there'll be tits on this. Probably not.
What station?
I think it's ABC.
No, they ain't going to show nothing.
I know, but I mean, that's the idea. Is that you get Bob Saget, who's really this edgy comic.
No, that should be on Netflix
and
or
then,
HBO.
Well, it's going to be on ABC because they have...
It should just be called Videos of People Racking Their Balls on...
Well, there's already... You watch True TV or... What is the Rob Dyrdek show where they hit each other in the nuts?
Yeah.
You know?
That's what it's going to be.
That thing's on all
isn't
day,
that,
too.
Dink humor.
Isn't that what Tosh.0 really
was?
Yeah,
Tosh, all of those
was
things.
Was just ball shots.
Yeah, it's
ball
just
shot.
Guys, you know, doing dumb shit.
Yeah, so he's got another big contract. He's another big payday.
But that's all right. I mean, Bob Saget deserves to make money. I got no problem.
No. Hey, he's got to pay for his 20-year-old wife, man.
So Ben Bailey does the local energy company commercials around here in Michigan.
He does, yes.
So he's making. Speaking of doing a gig on the side,
yeah.
How was he? Was it cool to work with?
He was absolutely. He was great. He was a really great guy.
I've met Ben. Yeah.
I drove
Ben Bailey around in my car. How about that? I drove the cash cab.
Did you ask him questions before?
I wasn't. You know what? I wasn't going to be that lame and ask him. You know, I wanted to ask John Lovitz about happiness, and I didn't even think that was appropriate. That's my favorite movie. And I didn't even. And he has the greatest scene in my favorite movie, and I wouldn't even discuss it with him.
I thought
it might upset him.
I don't think he would have discussed it with you. He seemed pretty.
Yeah, he didn't seem to want to talk about that. Ben Bailey owns the cash cab. I did get that out of him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't
he has the actual car.
Oh, he does
that. Yeah, he actually has the actual cash cab.
Sometimes he just drives it around.
The physical cash cab.
He just drives it around in St. Louis and confuses people.
He's bringing it up.
He's got a road gig in the cash cab.
Good. Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Yeah, Ben's a nice guy. He is,
yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, so it was fun. It was a fun couple of shows opening up for those guys. That was fun.
And while Sal was out hobnobbing with the stars, I was doing a show for the Hoover cheerleader fundraiser.
Oh, Jesus.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I see Louis C.K. should do that gig.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a more appropriate.
He should go entertain some downriver cheerleaders. Yeah, that sounds
I don't know. Maybe he'll get one to go back to his hotel room with him. And he can. And Sarah Silverman, by the way, she can leave show business.
Yes,
I want to drive her in the cash cab out of show business. That's what I want to do.
What does she do? What's her problem?
Well, she was like, I was in the, you know, Louis jerked off in front of me and it was cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, and again, and first of all, it's a free country. She can do whatever she wants. She's not doing, you know, she's just pissing people off by saying that. And it's like, that's another bad career move for her.
Well, how many? And, okay. If you were in New York in 1996.
Yeah.
At Luna Lounge,
yeah,
downtown, and all.
You know. I actually was in New York in '96 and went to Luna Lounge.
Sure, I
saw a band there.
Right,
but that's
all
okay.
those like all the
they mean, had
all
a comedy
those,
night,
and
yeah.
the Comedy Cellar and all the rooms down in the Village the guys were doing back then. Right, the alt comedy scene. What's the chances you passed around Sarah Silverman?
Probably a good chance,
like pretty solid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we know half the guys dated.
Yeah, a lot
her.
Of guys when I was
guys
Attel
we know
dated,
dated
her.
Sure,
yeah, sure, yeah.
So
yeah,
she,
I mean, come on, man. If I would have been in New York in the '90s, I mean, to get on Seinfeld, Jerry could have jacked off all over me.
But now
you would put me in a show.
This is certainly not
Jerry. Only jerked off in his car. He didn't jerk off in a hotel. Comedians in cars jerking off.
I've got a '68 Ford Fairlane just for jerking off in. It's got wide seats. It's easy to clean up the vinyl.
I'm jerking off today in a Carmen Ghia.
Comedians in cars jerking
Sarah
off.
Silverman.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which car will you spank it in today, Jerry?
Well, the first guest would have to be Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Leno's got a steam-powered car he'd like to spank it in. This is a Duesenberg from 1932.
I think Leno's car is powered by all the built-up semen in his balls because Mavis won't fuck him because he's been in the fucking garage polishing his Fords with a diaper every night.
When is the shoe drop on Leno?
I don't think Leno. I mean, I don't know. Was Sandra Bernhard fucked Leno and talked about it?
Yeah, when was that? 1976?
And Leno's book would talk about how he banged chicks. Oh, I read Leno's book. And he talked about getting laid on the road and stuff, so I don't know.
I already banged Phyllis Diller, though.
Whoa. I don't know who he was.
Wow.
Yeah, Judy Tenuta.
I heard Martha Ray took her dentures out, went down on Leno.
Yeah. So I got Rita Rudner in the back of the Stanley steamer.
I mean, and I gave her a Cleveland steamer.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I don't know what Leno's up to, but all right.
He's working Branson, Missouri, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, Sal, we got to get going, man. We're running out of time.
Thanks for having me on. Tell your listeners the Sal and Bob Show, man. Any platform?
Sal and Bob Show.
Any platform, iTunes, Stitcher, Corey's Garage. It doesn't matter. You'll get to it.
Find Sal.
All right, and we'll come cross promote on your show. All right.
Yeah, I want to have you guys on.
Yeah, invite us on. Well, you've been on here.
All right, brother.
Absolutely.
All right, later, Sal.
I'll see you guys. See you guys.
Okay, Sal. There goes Sal, everybody.
Define
Sal D'Amelio. Sal and Bob.
Sal starting a podcast.
Corey just going to produce his own segments here.
15 years
calling,
after.
Everyone's just calling in.
Well, Sal, I said, hey.
I know, but I got a whole bunch of other shit. First of all, we love Sal. We love Bob. Go listen to those guys.
Sal's a company, all right? Sal's he comes to the front of the line, you know? He's like Louis C.K. at the Comedy Cellar.
All right, let's talk
if
about.
If Sal shows up, you put him on, and you let him spank it in front of some open
mic. So now this, I put this on Facebook as I was shopping today.
Yes.
And this, apparently there are people outraged by this, Corey.
They're outraged.
I'm more bemused by this than outraged. I guess when we open these up, I might be more outraged.
Okay.
But the Kroger brand of supermarkets, which are, I think, in many areas of the United States now.
Yes.
Has introduced their own house brand of cheese snacks, Corey.
Yes.
And they are called Now That's Cheesy.
Okay.
And the theme of that is that the various packaging, the bags, have cheese, the various cheese snacks performing stand-up comedy.
Okay.
And they're on a stool.
Yes.
With an old-timey radio microphone.
Yes.
And a mic stand, and there's an audience of cheese curls watching.
Okay.
That's a weekend crowd there, Corey.
It's a very diverse crowd.
It's not an open mic crowd of, and it called Now That's Cheesy, and there's a joke at the top, Corey. Now, I didn't do enough research. Now, there was also cheese balls.
Okay.
Which also have the comedy packaging, and Flamin' Hot Cheese Curls.
Yes.
So, you know, you can go there, or should I?
You go ahead.
It's all you. You go ahead. About the Flamin' Hot.
No, you put it on me.
You go.
Now, is the Flamin' Hot Cheeto humping the stool?
Yeah,
on that
see,
package?
There you go. You
is
do that.
Is that what's going
yes.
on? No.
I made the jokes before. The Flamin' Hot Cheeto goes over its time. The Flamin' Hot Cheeto. All right.
That's the urban room of cheese curls.
The urban room. Here's the joke. Yeah. All right. We'll see how good the joke is, and maybe
is there
the
like
cheese
a
curls.
Wait? Is there like a gluten free like a? Do they also have like a
hippie vegan?
Yeah,
cheese curl,
are there like quinoa puffs or some shit.
No, that would be the storytelling. Cheese
oh, right,
curl.
The storytelling.
Yes, cheese the lame, yes. unfunny women with hairy armpits version of cheese.
Hey,
curls. That would be the storytelling. All right, here we go. Kroger's brands. Here's the joke, Corey.
Okay.
Please try to not step on the punchline, Corey. Hey, folks, here's one for you. What did the pony say when he had a sore throat? Sorry, can't talk. I'm a little horse. Ha, 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 a little horse. Yes, they threw a tag in that is the exact same punchline as the punchline, Corey. And I don't know if the jokes are unique. Or if they're the same on all bags of the,
you know, they're giving
comedy
it some,
themed.
Look, hey, I'll give them a D for effort. I mean, that's.
I mean, the actual graphic art of the cheese curl doing comedy isn't bad.
Yeah,
but it also it's pretty. It's a little disrespectful.
It's insulting. I wish that they were doing the good quality material that you'll hear in an open. I mean, come on, what?
Well, here's one thing I noticed. These are puffy. But more, they're not the, okay, they're the size of a crunchy Cheeto, but they're the texture of a puffy Cheeto. Corey.
You got so excited about that.
I was not surprised. Wait a minute.
You discovered
doesn't that look like a big, thick, well-hung, like a girthy Cheeto?
Well, it
and
actually,
then you get it, and it's a little tiny.
It's so girthy, I thought it was the Flaming Hot Cheeto.
No, it's not. Me, those are bigger. Yeah. Well,
no, you're right. It looks like a standard cheese puff. But it's thinner.
It's thinner. Here, you tell us, tell
all right,
America.
All right, okay. Now,
as one of the leading experts on cheese
if I
curls,
must do my duty.
Yes.
And
it says, there's other taglines in the back, like, it's all in the delivery.
Okay.
I don't know what other comedy cliches are on that bag.
No hotel.
That bag was $75, and I drove 3 hours each way.
Do your time up front.
Yeah. You laid out 10 of them. You're being very optimistic.
You know, yeah, I was being a little optimistic.
Well, I mean, they are a puffy Cheeto.
Here's what I would do as a joke. I would stock every comedy condo with these. If you're at Cuyahoga Falls, I would stock the room there.
These are fine.
Yeah, they're
for
okay.
For a house brand cheese puff, they're fine.
These are not standard Cheeto quality.
No, and I mean, but they're okay. I mean, you're not like you're not sick to your stomach over these. They're fine.
Yeah,
you want a puffy Cheeto knockoff for? I don't know how much I paid for these, but they were probably less money than the equivalent Frito-Lay version.
If these are anything, if these are in your $2 to $3 range, you know, sure.
Yeah, these are fine. I mean, you know, what can I tell you?
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, I actually like the packaging. I think it's kind of clever.
It is kind of clever, but it also is sort of like, you know, I mean, look, maybe comedy's so fucking lame that people are going to look at that and be entertained. But I mean, is anyone entertained by that? I don't know. I know we might be insulted as comedians, but you know,
obviously, as a comedian, the first thing you have to do is not be insulted by someone being precious with your craft.
Well, that's true.
Not doesn't most comics are not. That's the one thing comics are offended by. And I was actually offended by Nanette for its sort of dismissive attitude towards comedy.
What does the Nanette Cheeto look like?
It's a lot thicker than this.
So it's but, I mean, is Kroger going to do, like, house brand energy drinks with a picture of a little roofer as a can and a little...
Are they
little manual laborer.
Why don't they just put a carny on a six-pack of Mountain Dew?
Why? Well, a little burnout guy on the, you know.
Yeah.
Look, it's a disaffected teenager.
Why don't you just put a redneck on your pemmican beef jerky?
Well, you could do that. But anyway. So there's the comedy-themed cheese curls from the great folks at Kroger.
Yeah.
Supporting your local house brand, which means they make more money on those, probably.
Sure.
Than stocking the
Well, they're in-house, yeah. Meijer has their own in-house brands. And
but what is on the Meijer package?
Just a chips.
Just a plain white package with no jokes whatsoever on it, Corey. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
We got more call-ins?
Yeah, we're not going to.
We're not taking that one?
That was something. Well, is your thing going off now? What was
that? No.
I don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when the show runs late. Jesus Christ. All right, here's what's going on. Boy, what did we get to? I went go-karting yesterday. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I drove professional go-karts, Corey. Professional
go-karts.
Well,
I'm tired of these amateur go-karts.
Well, there are amateur go-karts. I didn't even realize that, but there are places where you can actually race go-karts competitively, Corey.
Yeah.
And I did that.
Okay.
And it was really fun. I went to a place called Cart to Cart, and they race these. It's indoors, but they race these hot rod 35-mile-an-hour top-speed go-karts. Now, 35 doesn't sound like real fast, but when you're sitting an inch off the ground with nothing surrounding you, 35's real fast. And the things totally will spin out if you don't brake in some of the turns. It was pretty crazy. So I had a real good time doing that. I got my rank.
Okay.
I was in the top 30% of all racers, which is pretty good for never racing that kind of go-kart before. And if you want, you can go get, you can actually, you know, race for hundreds of dollars. You can put a team together and go race go-karts at this place. It was pretty neat. So that was fun.
So you can do a team go-kart.
Yes, you do like, they do like, you know, like a 24-hour of Le Mans. They kind of do a version of that, where it's like a marathon race.
Wow!
And it was—I'll tell you—I did.
How long does a go kart go before you have to refuel?
Well, that's a good question. I think that's why you have a team. Is they, you know, one guy comes.
Is there a
into
fucking
the,
pit crew?
One guy comes into the there's pits, and you go into the pits, and I think the other guy would come out. I did 14 laps in. You know, I mean, you're supposed to get like 5 minutes on the track or 6 minutes on the track. Because it was a Monday afternoon, the guys didn't really give a fuck. No one was waiting. Mm-hmm. So they just let us go around and around. I lapped my girlfriend 3 times. Mm. So there you go.
What did you do on the course?
Well, hey-o!
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-na.
That is going to be on the new bag of cheese curls,
exactly.
Corey, I think.
Exactly.
You lapped your girlfriend 3 times. What'd you do afterwards? Hey-o!
Zingy!
So she was scared. She didn't want to drive real fast.
She'd been lapped hard.
She didn't want to run into the wall. So that was really fun. I mean, because I did those go-karts in Niagara Falls, which was a really cool-looking course. It looked like Mario Kart. But those were kind of like kids could ride those. They weren't real fast. These things were amazing.
Was this indoor?
Indoors. It's like an airplane hangar.
Okay.
And then they have like a whole area where you can have like your corporate party or your birthday party and video games and they'll serve you food.
I feel like they're used
But you wear a neck brace and a helmet. It's out of here. It's crazy.
I feel like there used to be more go-karts.
Well, I think now there's go-karts that are like at the amusement park kind of go-karts.
It's got to be like a whole complex now.
And then, but this thing is like hardcore. Well, I mean, you do your corporate party there.
Yeah.
Or you just, you're like into go-karts because you're into racing.
We used to have a fairly local one that also had, there's a golf course there, but like the golf course had an attachment that was putt-putt and driving range and a go-kart and I think like maybe some arcade games. It was a whole deal. And we used to go, we actually had a league at one point where we had a cup that we made.
Okay.
We went and got like a little cup and we had like teams. And we used to do that. We used to do that a lot when I was,
at cart to cart, you get full analytics of every lap speed and time and how your speed went up and went down and your ranking against all time. It's really crazy.
Now, one time my girlfriend, several girlfriends ago, she crashed.
Yeah.
And got the front end of the go-kart stuck under the barricade.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't even know how she did it. She came around the corner and just bam, hit that thing. And stuck the whole front end underneath the barricade.
Yeah.
And then everybody else was pissed because she was twisted out in the lane. And
you had to get the yellow flag.
Put the caution, the red flag out.
Well,
and it took about 15 minutes to pull her out of there. But yeah.
That can happen. Those things are. And these carts are crazy fast. And I mean, I was just squealing tires. I tapped the wall a couple times. I didn't fully wipe out. I never went too sideways. Yeah. But,
You tap the wall and then lap the wife.
Hey-o, girlfriend.
You're busy. All right. Excuse me. Wife, girlfriend. So you lap the girlfriend and tap the
wife. All right. Would you stop it? What? I don't have a wife.
No. I do when she's calling.
Well, right. What is she?
Should I put her on? No. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's got a... She's calling to tell me she's got a podcast.
I'm sure she
I think that's what it is.
Like it. Sorry.
She wants to plug her podcast.
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, I like Sal.
Sal is family. We take care of our own.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of us.
All right,
he's a good fella. You'll like him.
More Halloween stuff.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One of us.
I saw.
I'm subtly making a mafia
you're not
joke.
But you're not one of us.
I know.
Don't disrespect us.
Oh, please.
You see what we did to Whitey? You see what happened to him? You got to keep your mouth shut.
First of all, he was killed.
We gouged your eyes out.
He was
cut
killed
his tongue
in
out.
West Virginia.
Well, hey.
So I feel like.
We got guys over there.
I feel like it was like. Hey, y'all, thank you from Boston. You think you some hot shit, faggot? And they fucking beat him with a mop handle or something.
No, the problem is the West Virginia federal penitentiary is full of wise guys from New York and New Jersey. Yeah, that's what that is. Pennsylvania.
Do you think, Whitey Bulger, evil criminal prick, right?
Exactly.
Horrible human being. What did he do to earn the name Whitey in Boston? You've got to distinguish yourself.
That's how white he was.
You've got to be the whitest dude. To stand out amongst Southie Bostonians.
He's a fucking,
it's one of the whitest enclaves outside of Maryland.
He was something else, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, how many movies did they make about Whitey Bulger? I mean,
a couple.
The Departed was based on him on some level. And, and, of course, Black Mass that came out a couple years ago. Johnny Depp.
Yeah, real piece of work. And what was he, 83?
Yeah, he was an old guy.
Yeah.
So, and he was
by the way, this kid's. You shouldn't be listening to this podcast if you're a child, but I want the youngsters out there to know, being nice doesn't do you shit.
Well, you know, when he was on
evil people live forever.
When he was on the lam.
How old is Dick Cheney?
Well, I don't know. But he was living in, like, Santa Monica, California on the lam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on the beach in a condo.
Yeah. And a real tough life.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of did the right thing.
Shibbed 15 people in the neck.
Yeah,
and then
Disappeared, and no one bothered him. All right, so Halloween. So I saw the Halloween movie, the reboot.
Oh,
just called Halloween because I think we're into that part of the show now. We got to hurry it up here, but Halloween is out, and I like this thing. It was David Gordon Green,
yes,
of all people, directing this and co-written with Danny McBride. So that's kind of an unusual guy to do horror movies.
Yeah, but David Gordon Green's shown he can do
multiple
weird shit. Genres,
right? Because, you know, Rob Zombie tried to reboot Halloween, and he made two movies, but some people really weren't big fans of those, apparently. And this one just ignores all other Halloween movies except the first one, which is I thought was a good idea.
Well, they do that with a lot of... I didn't see the new Predator, but did that... ignore the franchise?
I don't know if that ignores all Predators, including
eventually that happens.
Danny Glover and
the Godzilla,
the Alien versus
the Godzilla movies are perpetually rebooting themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean that's why
whatever. There's always like a new thing.
The Rob Zombie Halloween was a reboot. It was a retelling of the original Halloween.
Sure,
but it was more of a remake.
They tried to reboot Nightmare on Elm Street, and that tanked.
Yes, that I actually saw that, and it was awful.
Yeah, it was brutal.
It was not good. This is real good. You know, again, you really only need to see the first Halloween, because mm-hmm. Jamie Lee Curtis is now, I mean, it's 40 years after the original Halloween movie. It's 40 mm-hmm. years later in storyline.
Hey.
Jamie Lee Curtis is 40 years older.
Don't skip out on the great PJ Souls in the original Halloween.
PJ Souls has a cameo in this.
Does she really?
She is one of the high
school. They really are not. Well, wait. She was murdered in the
original. I know, but she is in the film as a cameo.
Yeah.
And actually, the other guys, so the Michael Myers is played by the original guy who played Michael Myers.
Okay.
And then the other guys who played Michael Myers over the years apparently get cameos in there as police officers.
I don't know that guy's name.
Yeah, I don't know either, but it's the same guy.
Because Kane Hodder was the original
it's
Jason.
Nick Castle, I think, is okay. who it is. But anyway.
Haru Nakajima was the original Godzilla.
Well, anyway, what's he in?
Dead. Yeah, he's in a grave.
So, here's the only thing I thought, because, I mean, look, if you've seen the trailer, you pretty much know the story. Jamie Lee Curtis's character is out for revenge because Laurie Strode is out for revenge. And
but she's had a daughter and a granddaughter.
Yes.
Apparently she's had a life.
Judy Greer is her daughter.
Yeah, where's the husband?
Where's
the father of that daughter?
Where is he? I'm trying
Random
to remember
sperm
where
donor?
He is. Well, the thing is, she's got post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
So she's not living her best life right now.
But she came out of her trauma long enough to catch a dick and have a baby.
That was back in the day. Yeah. That was the, you know, there's a boyfriend in that Halloween, right?
Yeah. Did he survive? I can't remember.
What did he do? But anyway, the original Halloween, the original John Carpenter Halloween was really, really based on Psycho. In a lot of ways. Stylistically and storyline-wise, there's a lot of Psycho in that. And then this one is, stylistically, it doesn't really follow that one, mm-hmm. which is, to me, a little surprising. And I think kind of a disappointment in a way, because it's just a lot of close-ups, and it's not. But it is effective. You do jump. You do get scared at times. You know, I'm not a big horror movie guy, but it was good. It's thrilling in a way, and again, if you only need to see the original Halloween and you haven't seen that, you'll enjoy that.
I always say,
and
I'm a,
if you do, if you didn't, then maybe don't see this.
I'm a monster guy, not a horror guy.
Yeah,
right.
But Halloween's a good. The original John Carpenter Halloween is a good movie.
Yeah,
regardless of genre.
It's not my favorite John Carpenter movie.
No, but.
It is fine.
It's
good for, and I'm sure it's one of those movies where now it's hard to gauge,
right?
Because in 1978 it was exciting,
yeah,
and new and fresh, and now that's been beaten deep into the earth.
My girlfriend had never seen the first one,
yeah,
so we watched that, you know, a week before we went and saw the new Halloween. But it's sort of like Jaws, you know, like if you watch the original Jaws, which is still a good movie too. You kind of go, what's the big deal? Because you've got all these other monster movies.
Jaws is a great movie.
It's
not as scary as it once was. I mean, although it is kind of.
Yeah.
There's still some.
It's got
scares,
it's chills.
It.
Yeah. I mean,
that's really like I look at Jaws as like a big adventure movie.
Right. And you know, Jurassic Park, same deal. I watched the first Jurassic Park over the summer before that new one came out. And yeah.
Well, it just, how many goddamn Michael Myers movies can they
make? There's too many, and they were made by bad, and if you look at the history, like, they did the H2O series, which was like, we're going to do Scream, but in the Halloween universe,
mm-hmm.
and like, they always put, like, and Jamie Lee Curtis came back for those, and they've thrown that storyline out too, but they did the thing where, like, remember how in, like, 90s horror movies, or maybe early 2000s, we got to have one rapper in these? Like, we need to have Busta Rhymes or Ice Cube.
There must be a rapper.
I'm trying to think who is in the Halloweens. I think it's Busta Rhymes and, like, Method Man might be in another one. And it was just kind of like this weird casting where it was like, we've got the debutante teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got, like, the veteran actor. And then we've got the black guy.
Yeah.
I guess, like, they were trying to appeal. It's like, you know, casting for. Well, the audience instead of the story.
Sure. But yeah. I mean, black guys are going to go to
well, that's what I mean. Yeah,
movies,
yeah, yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Why not throw a little?
Well, that was their thought.
Throw a little representation to the mishpucha.
There's black people in this new Halloween. Don't get me wrong.
There's black people watching the new Halloween.
Well, there were black people in the theater watching Halloween.
Are you kidding? Horror movies. That's like the number one demo.
And I went to the theater where they have a waitress that serves you dinner.
Oh, wow.
And we actually didn't. We actually ate dinner before that movie, so mm-hmm. we just got like snacks. And
did you see this like a boot? Was this like a bootleg? Did you
go to the Imagine Theater in Royal Oak? What the fuck is bootleg about that?
No, I'm just saying, just like you went to a restaurant and they were like, yeah, we got a bootleg of Halloween.
Well, I'm sure that's playing somewhere, you know.
You went to?
You buy, they fry, and then they show you Halloween on a VHS tape in the back. You get your hair did. But, no.
The barbershop bootleg is a wonderful thing. It's really.
I think it's over now. Maybe. No, maybe they got DVDs. I don't know.
No, because they're like.
When have you been to a hood barbershop?
Look at me. Do I think
our
you think
black correspondent passed away a couple months ago.
Wait, which one? Oh, yeah.
There was more than
one. Oh, Lundy. Yeah.
But anyway, so Halloween's good. Halloween's good.
Call chill. Let's get a
Halloween's. He's in New York. I don't know what he's up
to. They got barbershop.
I guess.
First of all, that's where bootlegging.
Yeah,
originated.
I guess that's where.
That's where movie bootlegging.
So anyway, Halloween was good.
I always love when you'd have shit that wasn't out yet that was on the street corner in Chinatown.
Yeah, you could do that, but you know.
When you're like, how did you get a work print of this? What the fuck?
The internet now it's changed everything.
I know.
Here we go. All right. Anything movie? I mean, A Star Is Born. I reviewed it on the last show, and I know you saw it. And everyone's
sure.
talking about it, and by everyone, I mean women. But Star Is Born is hot, and Corey, your thoughts?
I'm sorry. It was a movie that happened.
Yeah, you weren't that impressed.
No, you
with
know,
it?
I came out of the theater not really sure how I felt about
yeah.
it. I thought I have no idea what I just saw.
Well,
I thought the music was good.
Okay,
I did think that the music. You know, when they do these kind of like showy. I'm going to play a rock star. I'm going to sing.
Yes.
You never know if the music's going to be any good. There's Natalie Portman's doing one, oddly enough, where she's playing like a Gaga type character.
Yeah.
She's like a Madonna Gaga kind of. It's called
yeah.
Vox Lux. And that music looks like it's going to be Gaga music, so it's
yeah.
going to suck. I thought that the music, most of the music in this was not.
Well, a lot of people are talking about the song she does on. She does SNL in the movie.
Sure.
No, sorry for the spoilers.
Yes.
But they're saying that song is like a parody of Gaga.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be like, oh, she's made this horrible song,
mm-hmm.
but people are thinking that's the best song in the movie to a lot of people.
Well, those
which
are
is
people,
weird. No, but
those
I mean, seriously,
without taste.
Like there's been articles. I've read numerous articles about the song they put in there to be deliberately bad is good. It's remember
right.
La La Land, which to me had a lot of the, even though it's completely different in a lot of ways, was sort of the blueprint where when
sure.
Ryan Gosling joins that band, Emma Stone shows up to see him, and it's like this horrible jazzy fusion R&B thing.
Yes,
but that was kind of a good song too, and that people liked.
Oh, the stuff with John Legend.
Yeah, the John. Remember when she goes to the club and he's doing all that synthesizer stuff?
Well, that's the sellout.
And it's not. Yeah, well, that's the thing about Gaga's song is sellout. It's not authentic. But again, I talked about this.
But it's exactly what Gaga does.
Exactly. So maybe that's what you want.
So I thought there were a lot of conflicting messages about that.
Yeah.
One, and then so all these articles came out in the wake of this movie, which has been a huge hit.
It has been, yes.
And it's going to get nominated, and Gaga's going to get. We're going to get to see her, whatever she wears to the Oscars.
Yes,
and she hopefully doesn't win, but I think because we don't need her being any bigger.
Well,
than she
what
is.
Good for her. I mean, ultimately, I handicap the Oscars and I see it, but I don't really care who wins or loses.
And as if his dick wasn't wet enough.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper is going to have a nonstop suckathon till mid-February of people talking about what a genius Brad Cooper is.
Well, it's just what's the follow-up going to be? That's
I thought
the
his
thing.
Performance was he was playing Sam Elliott playing Chris Christopherson.
Right. And meanwhile, Sam Elliott's in the movie.
Right, and it's just he's doing this, man.
Well,
his dialogue is all right.
Who was he supposed to be?
He's supposed to be like, I don't know, man. Like a,
all right,
he's supposed to be like a, he's supposed to be like a Willie Nelson-y.
Yeah,
kind
but
of?
He's not. I mean, it was Willie Nelson's son was the band.
He's playing a thing that doesn't exist.
That's the problem I had with
he's
it.
He's playing a country rock singer superstar thing. I was kind of like, is this Pearl Jammy?
No, I was thinking it was like Petty.
Tom Petty-ish?
Yeah, but it was like, because the thing was like, he walks into a tranny bar where he meets Gaga and everybody knows him. So you wouldn't be, Toby Keith probably wouldn't be discovered, wouldn't be recognized by, you know
He's
what I mean?
He's a thing that doesn't exist.
Vince Gill would not be, you know, Kenny Chesney wouldn't be. So I'm going, he's Springsteen or Petty, something like that. But, you know, because if he's John
but
Hyatt,
he's also,
he wouldn't be famous enough.
Right. He's not John Prine or
fucking
any of those guys.
No. So I was sort of like, this is some
Joe
weird.
Joe Jackson.
And even the music's not any one real particular genre. It's sort of.
Here's some problems.
It's sort of outlaw country, not really.
I came out of the movie and I thought, okay, that was really well acted.
Yeah.
And it was, the music was great and it was shot well.
Yeah.
The plot doesn't hold up.
No.
And it's, by the way, the same plot they've been doing since 1937.
Sure. Do all those movies end the same way?
They all have almost identical storylines.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, what happens to the characters is the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The structure is always the same.
I didn't realize that was the...
You know, sometimes the details change a little bit.
Right,
like,
no, I understand, but...
You know, the original ones, he was a movie star, and then he becomes a rock star.
Yeah.
This one really kind of follows the Kristofferson Streisand one pretty closely.
Okay.
Because in the earlier ones, the guy gets jealous of her success.
Right.
This guy doesn't quite get jealous of her success, but he gets like he feels incompetent and worthless because of her success.
Yes.
Or he feels he's an impediment to her success. I felt like Bradley Cooper took every opportunity to make his character look better.
Mm.
He's not really destructive. He's self-destructive.
Yes, he's self-destructive
He's never an asshole. They have one scene where they have a fight.
Yeah.
And he's mean to her in the fight.
Right.
But he doesn't hit her. He just kind of says some mean things.
Their differences are more circumstantial than deliberate.
But he is portrayed as like people said, is this a feminist movie? Or there were articles, you know, Slate will do this every fucking time. They'll go,
yes.
This speaks to our time. And it's important.
Yes. Well, Halloween was the Me Too horror movie, which if you see it, by the way, that's the thing, you know, between First Man getting shit about the flag and Halloween being the Me Too movie, a horror movie. I'm like, these people are just throwing shit into projecting things upon
and they were
these
like,
movies that
they
don't
were like,
exist.
This is the highest grossing. This is finally we have a horror movie starring a woman.
Yeah.
It's a hit. Yes. And I'm like, did you see Carrie?
Well, an actress over 55 had never starred.
But that's the thing.
Yeah,
it's always some fucking subcategory that
they get granular.
That doesn't actually mean anything.
Yeah.
Because every horror movie has a female lead.
Yeah.
Or most of them. Alien had
lead. But she was not
a senior citizen. Sure. But it's just like they're always looking for some micro transaction.
Well, there are teenagers that are getting chased around in Halloween. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
it's not
got
just
a granddaughter that's getting chased around. Anyway. Back to Star is Born, the other horror movie.
Lady Gaga's nose was terrifying on the screen.
You know, I don't think Gaga's unattractive.
No, and they do the jokes about her nose in the movie,
when they try to play her as, like, ugly. Now, Barbara Streisand is a acquired taste.
Yes.
I acquired that taste as a young boy growing up amongst Jews. I would love a taste of young Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
Oh, give me that. Yeah, Owl and the Pussycat, let me have some of that. But she has kind of a big fro in the 70s version of that movie. But I don't know. They're always trying to play her ugly. But it's like, they were like, is this a feminist movie? And I'm like, no, because it's exactly the same fucking movie they've been making since 1937.
Yeah.
And it's always the story of, always, a woman who is insecure about her talent and doesn't think she's going to be anything, mm-hmm. meets a famous guy who gives her a career, mm-hmm. builds a career for her.
Mm-hmm.
Then she starts to eclipse him, and he falls into a drunken depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the same pattern every time. None of it's about her agency. It's all because he gave her a career. And in this movie, it's even worse because they kind of blame her.
Well, she gave him love, Corey.
Right.
Which he couldn't find.
But she then betrayed him by selling out her music. And he's like...
Yeah, I think to me that's why I didn't. I like this movie. It's fine.
Yeah.
It just didn't do much for me.
He's supposed to be this real super authentic,
right.
Heartfelt. he's, you know, and he's like across, he's like, who's the fucking, Tim Buckley, not Jeff Buckley.
Jeff
Buckley. Do you know what I mean? Like this super soulful kind of guy, right? Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, he's what women would like rock stars to be.
Sensitive.
Instead of like a sexist groupie right. fucking pig.
Right.
Which is what they all are, I think, for the most part. Based upon,
I don't know about all of them, but most
okay,
of them.
I've read in the last month 3 books about Van Halen.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. So there you go.
Well, metal people. Metal
Ask
guys.
Ask me any questions about Van Halen that
Jesus
you might
Christ.
Have.
Metal I know, could not survive down, the Me Too movement.
I went down a Van Halen well, so, yeah.
Well,
anyway.
A lot of ladies went down that well.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But anyway, I'm just saying, people were trying to put things on this that weren't there.
Yeah.
It's the same story from the 30s. And also, Cooper really, it's like, he goes, one, his career's not in decline. He's playing the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, well,
it's like, you know what I mean? Like, they keep going, well, you're on the downslide. And he's playing arenas.
Yeah, and they don't show
him. Like, they don't show, you know what I mean? It's not like he shows up and there's like 6 people in the crowd.
Right.
No, he's playing a fucking sold out Hollywood Bowl and he's a big hit and he's drinking too hard.
Yeah.
But it's not like his career is faltering.
I know.
And then they go, they're like, let's go to this drag bar. Because
well,
he just
wants a drink.
The whole plot is he wanders into it. He's looking
where
for
where can
drink.
I get a drink because I need a drink.
And he wanders into this drag bar.
Yeah.
And instead of what most country music stars would have been like, you goddamn queers, what are you trying to do to me? He goes, is this a gay bar? Oh, cool, man. I'll take a Schlitz. And like he just hangs out and he's bemused by it. And he thinks it's real funny and enjoys being in the gay bar, which, you know, is a perfectly normal response. But it was like Brad Cooper going, look at how cool.
Yeah, he's progressive.
This guy's real modern and progressive. And he's not bothered by being in a drag bar, and even though he's a famous guy and he doesn't want to be like. And then they were like, Dave Chappelle drops in on a fucking off a parachute. He parachutes into the movie.
Well, I talked about last week. He's the magical Negro.
Yeah, they're like, I've got a black friend. And
yeah.
It's like. That's literally what Dave Chappelle's
role
is.
Well, that's, I mean.
And I still couldn't figure out what that character was or came
I'm not
from.
Sure if he's not Dave Chappelle.
And he goes, I've known you since you were 5. And you're like.
Yeah, I didn't.
They're like, who the fuck are you?
And they're in Memphis or something?
Yeah. But he grew up in Arizona.
I don't know.
The plot doesn't hold up.
I don't know what it is.
It's all jelly. It's all pudding.
Right.
The plot doesn't hold up.
I've set aside 30 minutes for you to discuss Eddie Griffin in this movie. Please, go ahead. And then if you can follow that up with 20 minutes on Dice, we'll be here for another hour.
Eddie Griffin's got an even shorter cameo.
Now, Eddie Griffin is like...
It's kind of like, hi, and then he's out.
Eddie
like,
Griffin.
There's nothing there.
But, I mean, they could have cast anybody to be the Eddie Griffin character. But they clearly went for, like, a recognizable guy. Because Dice is trying to blend in, I think, and
so not
be Dice. I know, but, I mean,
I love that. This is Dice's role in the movie. Dice is Lady Gaga's dad.
Yeah.
Who's a cabbie who never works.
Well, he's a limo driver.
Yeah. He's a limo. He's a driver.
Yes.
But he's always just sitting around in his kitchen with his 3 drunk cab buddies who play watch horse racing.
Yeah, they're betting on the ponies.
I wanted to watch that movie.
He's Ronnie the limo driver Mund. That's exactly what he is.
He's just like, you know, Paul Anka told me that I could be a better crooner than Sinatra.
Yeah.
That's his whole fucking role in the movie.
He's
and
fine.
I kind of wanted that movie.
Well,
I just wanted to watch
Dice.
I just wanted to
Dice
watch
and his buddies.
I just wanted to watch Dice and his buddies betting on horse racing,
sitting in traffic.
Yeah,
in
and
Manhattan.
Then like, I drove this Justin Bieber. Yay!
So you want Dice. Smelling exhaust fumes in the Midtown Tunnel for an hour. That's what you want? That's your movie?
Yeah.
That's it?
He's like, hey. I should have took La Cienega. What was I thinking? Hey!
Hey! Hey! Where's your fucking easy pass? Come on! I mean, why is that that's what you want? That's a better movie?
You don't want me. You don't want me to get on the 405, goddammit.
Well, I think he was. Well, he did go out to L.A., but
No, they were in L.A.
Well, no, but she lives in the East Coast, doesn't she?
No, she lives in L.A. That house is in L.A. There's palm trees. He's in town to play the Hollywood Bowl.
No, but I thought the drag bar was in Manhattan.
You know what? It doesn't make any damn sense, does it?
I don't know
it?
If it does.
Or maybe.
Well, he's at Coachella in the beginning. Maybe that's where they lived in the desert or
something.
Yeah,
okay.
That might have been it.
I couldn't figure it out. So anyway.
And they're at Glastonbury as well at one point.
No.
Which
they literally to film.
They didn't really tell you they were at Glastonbury.
But wasn't it to film the movie? They were like, they went out during like Mumford and Sons set or somebody.
Well, I might have been the Willie, whatever, whoever Nelson, whatever Willie's son is.
Okay,
because that was the band. It might have been their set.
Somebody's set. They went out to these,
and they just went out and
they went out to these festival
shows. Threw Brad
shows,
Cooper
right?
out there and said,
they went out to these festival shows and went out and like just were like, hey, we're gonna shoot a movie.
Gorilla shot. A number.
And then Gaga thing. Shows up and the crowd freaks out because it's Gaga.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's how they did it, apparently.
I'll get the DVD. I mean, I won't, but
yeah,
it'll be on there.
Right.
The stories are out there.
Anyway.
Yeah, by the way, if
but
you get,
this is going to be a big hit movie that'll make a... It's already made a fortune.
It's going to be women's favorite movie, and they're going to see it.
Because it's a...
I tried to get Ted Moss to take his date to The Star Is Born. He refused.
Wow. Go,
what, do you not like pussy?
I just... Is that playing... At the Farmington Civic at the Retro Theater. Where does Ted Moss take her? He's got to take her to the drive-in in his jalopy.
Ted drives a nice car.
By the way, for the record, I don't hate Ted.
No, it's fine. You don't have to like Ted or hate Ted.
I do love Oxygen.
Okay.
And I feel when Ted's here, there's not enough.
Well, Ted, when you weren't here, there was enough. The both of you might be too much.
I don't know if I need the opinions of a 70-year-old open micer.
He's not... He
I don't know how.
Well, you weren't here.
How that informs me about comedy. Anyway.
All right. People like the Ted Show. So thank you if you listen to the Ted Show.
God, thank you if you survived that.
Do you want to talk about First Man, even though I did it last week?
First Man.
You saw it, right?
I saw First Man. Yeah, yeah. I feel it's very hard to write poetry about engineers.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
And this movie's like trying to be this art house film about a guy who doesn't have any emotions that you can read.
Yeah, that's
it's all internal.
That's the story.
And I feel like the audiences went, what is this?
No, I think definitely it did not hit in a way that people expected it to, but
now
it's still a good picture. And
some
you
people,
still see it.
Including the co-host of the Sal and Bob Show, Bob Phillips, there was a phony controversy.
It was so funny.
That they did not show Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong planting the U.S. flag.
They did not.
Except that in that sequence... They show 10 minutes of the rocket on the launch pad with the United States written on the side of it with the flag.
Flags.
They go up. They're going up the escalator to get up to the fucking top of the rocket, and you see the flag in the United States.
Yeah.
They've got the United States flag patch on their fucking arms.
Yeah.
The flag is everywhere. They talk in the movie about how we got to beat the Russians.
Yeah.
And there's like American pride. It's not like the jingoism in the U.S. rah-rah isn't the focal point of the movie.
No.
But if you think it's not there... You're bullshit.
Well, it's not that movie.
It's not the right stuff.
Well, that was the right stuff.
Right.
Why? I mean, people criticize this movie without ever seeing it, and I'm like, you don't even know what this is, and right. It's sort of like.
And I love the right stuff. It's a great movie.
Okay, yeah, but I mean,
the tone of the right stuff.
What this doesn't do is it doesn't give you that shot of the rocket is being launched into the air, and you see a crowd of people on the ground all cheering that this thing took off. That's not in the movie either. And it's not there for a reason, because it's the story of Neil Armstrong. It's not the story of America going to the moon. That's a different movie. The guy that went to the moon, you know, he put the flag up. He did 10,000 things on that moon. You can't show them all. You know what I mean? He's up there, you know.
And then there's a Mr. Show sketch about how we're going to blow up the moon because we finally have the technology. And they talk to a retired astronaut. And he's like, I went to the moon, hit a golf ball off it. Did a push-up.
Yeah.
Ate an egg. What else are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, what do you want? I mean, what are we
It's a very good movie. It brilliantly recreates the stuff. Like, it looks like archival footage.
Well, they shot it on 16mm and 35mm.
Yeah.
So they sort of mixed it, which is
to the
detriment of the quality of the image, and yet it trying to look vintage in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you're in the cabin... When he's flying, you know, early,
it's like you're
early
went
on,
to the moon. Yeah,
he's like a test pilot going up in the air, in the atmosphere. Those scenes are great, intense, and beautifully
done. The moon landing is incredible. It's thrilling.
I just feel like the whole movie itself is about a guy who doesn't have an emotional. He's tight.
Well, but I think that's the idea of this film.
Yes,
was to show you that this guy wasn't a. This is a guy who. was heroic, not in his fist-pumping, cheering way, but he would pull out a notebook while this rocket ship is flying into Earth, and he has to do math and make a correction to the booster rocket in order to not burn up upon reentry. And that is the heroism is in a guy who could, under great duress, focus and use his training to survive and not
It's a story about a heroic guy.
It's not a cowboy in space.
But, well, the right stuff was like cowboys in space.
It was, yes.
Because those guys were all black, slappy, John Glenn was the real more up stick of the butt guy.
Yeah, well, it's
but even then, there was camaraderie and friendship. And this is more like he kind of thinks Gus, he kind of thinks Buzz is an asshole.
Yeah.
Buzz is the glad, handy, happy.
Well, Buzz, you know, Buzz was the guy that did all the interviews. Buzz was the guy that went on every show.
Right.
Neil Armstrong did a little bit of that, but he did not. He really kind of shunned the spotlight, even though he was, you know, arguably the more famous of the two guys.
I feel like we can't spoil a movie based on historical events.
No.
But there's in one of those press conferences, the whole theme of the movie is condensed into this sequence where the Buzz is being like Ringo Starr. And having a goof at the press conference and, you know, turn left to Greenland. And that was actually George, I think, or John, I don't know, whatever. Might have been John.
John might have been.
Anyway, but
George
said,
Buzz is, I got one yesterday about his haircut.
Oh, about his haircut, yes.
But I could do Beatle press conferences all day, but we don't have to.
Which is why, when Chevy Chase said George wasn't funny, he was
Chevy's
bullshit. But anyway, Buzz is like, hey, I'm taking my wife's jewelry up to the moon so I can, you know, brag. Yeah. She's got moon rocks.
Yeah.
And Neil Armstrong goes, if I had a choice, I'd take more fuel. that's the whole movie
That is the
He's just a super serious guy. So
and then
it's a very good movie.
It is.
The controversy is phony.
Yes, it's not
I understand if it's too art house for most people because it is very it's like an intimate portrait of this guy. It's a really up-close portrait, and that might be too intense for people, but I think it's a good film.
Yeah, it was good. You should see it. I don't know. I mean, my guess is with this is they're either going to...
I saw a great movie last
night. All right. Well, my guess was...
Which will be an Oscar nominee, but...
First Man, they will either dump this thing on video in January and try to get some Oscar buzz that way, or they'll hold it and re-release it. My guess is they're probably going to have to dump it on video. That's just my thought. What did you see that was great? We really got to go.
Well, it doesn't come out until next month, but a Private War.
Who's in that?
That is Rosamund Pike.
Okay.
As a war correspondent.
Okay.
And it's
who made it?
God, I don't know the name of the guy, but it's. You want to talk about a horror movie?
Okay.
This is like up close in like Syria and Afghanistan, and like this is a crazy movie. This is a really
private
intense
Private War.
Yeah, another biopic of a real person.
Okay.
But that doesn't come out till November anyway. But
it says November 2nd.
Okay.
Matthew Heinerman was the director.
Yeah.
He made mostly documentaries, apparently. Okay. Let me see what he got nominated for. Because I watch a lot of documentaries. I probably watched one of these. Career. Escape Fire, The Fight to Rescue American Healthcare.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with him.
HBO's The Alzheimer's Project.
Oh, fun topic.
Yeah. Our Time, a documentary about American youth. Okay.
Well, there you go.
Oh, he made City of Ghosts, which was about ISIS.
Okay.
So that was, I've heard of that. I don't think I ever saw that, though.
Well, all right, then.
In Cartel Land.
Oh, I saw Cartel
Land. Okay, so he made Cartel Land.
Okay. It's a tremendous movie. Anyway, Stanley Tucci in there, too.
Stanley. Well, I didn't know what happened to Stanley Tucci or Rosamund Pike, and now they're in a good movie.
Oh, so and 50 Shades of Grey's own.
Oh, jeez.
Now I'm blanking on the guy's name.
Jamie Dornan.
Yeah,
he's in that.
He's in it. He's very good. He's the photographer. He's her photographer. He's in a HBO movie, which I just want to briefly mention.
Did you watch that thing?
One of the shittiest pieces of shit.
I've ever seen.
With apologies to Bob Phillips, who thought it was great.
Well, that should tell you all you need to know.
This is My Dinner with Hervé.
Oh, fuck that.
Do you need to look at this thing just to like?
I watched the trailer, and that's as far as I think I'm going with it.
Moses, is this thing crazy? It's Peter Dinklage as Hervé Villechaize on the town with Jamie Dornan as the reporter, giving, you know, he's going to do the his final interview.
Yes.
And it's just ridiculous.
Well, Hervé Villechaize was a crazy guy, and I know that's all in this movie.
Yes.
But to me, I can't get past that Peter Dinklage really, aside from being similar in height.
And he's trying to do the voice of Hervé Villechaize, and he's difficult to listen.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's fucking, it's so crazy. He's, by the way, they digitize out his wang because he's running around naked, like banging full size women. And it's just a wild.
Would it have been less weird if he had been banging midgets?
Well, it's, I mean, look.
I mean, you make it sound like that's the weird thing that he's banging full size women, but you gotta, I mean, you really got to look for the midget women. I mean, they're harder to find.
Yeah, they are harder to find.
They're smaller and there's less of them.
Yeah, I mean, they're lower to the ground. Yeah, you got to look for them. They're like truffles. Got to go out there with a shovel early in the spring. Anyway, this thing is ridiculous. I don't know if HBO is going to try to bury this.
No, I think they've already buried it. I mean, they aired it, and it's on HBO Go and HBO Now. And
10 seconds on another HBO failure.
What was that?
Camping.
Oh, my God. Did you finally watch that?
Oh, God.
Holy Toledo. Although, I'll tell you this.
Ooh.
I got to the third episode, and the third episode was the best episode. They've only aired three.
Well, it's just...
But... It's still terrible.
It's just like one of those shows about just unlikable people.
They're awful people.
And they're just all awful.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Garner, not a comedy talent.
No.
And you're just like, why are we doing this?
She's like an A-type personality who
and then they've got David
shouldn't be camping.
Okay, and then they've got David Tennant who can be funny.
He's awful.
Right. He was charming though as Doctor Who and funny. Yeah. And in this they've got him as an uptight prick.
Yes.
And you're just like
He's doing like a bad Adam Scott impression the whole time. It's just weird. The whole thing doesn't work. It is. It's just unlikable people and it's not even like they're struggling with camping. It's like they just don't like each other.
No, they're it's just they could have called this neighborhood.
Right. They could have put this anywhere.
It could have been their neighborhood in LA.
The whole thing's just
weird. And they
weird.
Just hate each other.
I mean, Juliette Lewis is playing a kook who gets naked, which is...
So she's not actually playing a role.
Yeah, but I mean, it just... This feels like a bad version of, like, Transparent or something, right? It sort of has that, like, hey, we're all weirdos.
Yeah, and the people in Transparent are unpleasant, neurotic assholes, but some of them you kind of like.
Yes, but this, I think camping's trying to make us sympathetic in some way to somebody. I'm not sure who that is yet. My guess is that, look, something... Jennifer Garner is going to come around to being the greatest person in the world by the end of this series, right?
Right.
I mean, how could it not be?
I don't know.
But you're three episodes in and you're like, this thing's hard to watch. I mean, it really is.
Here's a guy who, when I see him in a movie, I know it's going to be an indulgent indie piece of shit.
What's that?
Most of the time. Not every time.
Who's that?
Brett Gelman,
yes.
And is he like friends with everybody in Hollywood?
He was in the show Love that was on Netflix.
Yeah, an indulgent piece of
a slimy radio personality.
I kind of liked Love.
Yeah, Love was a good show.
But it was another show about indie. It was another indie... In Indian tone.
Yeah, but I mean, Love was a bunch of likable people.
He did a movie called Lemon.
Yeah.
And he's completely unlikable in that. It's just always, he's always in stuff where he's just like, you know what I mean?
He's like a TJ Miller type. He's a dirtbag.
He's bald and bearded and not that, you know.
Jewy.
Right.
Yeah.
He's just always in stuff where you know he's going to be this, like, alcoholic, depressive, hipster fuck who's cheating on his wife.
They've got a guy that's a bigger douche than him on camping.
Uh-huh.
The other guy, the big guy. I don't even know who that actor is.
The big guy.
The big bald guy.
The big bald guy. Oh, King Kong Bundy is on this?
No, there's a big bald guy that is the other. How many campings have you watched?
I won't watch. I got through like one.
Yeah. Believe me, the third one's the best one, but it's still not good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's weird. It's not a good show. It's Jenny Connor and Lena Dunham, who made Girls. And this is based on an English, British show. I'm not sure where
Chris
it aired.
Chris Sullivan?
Is the big bald guy?
Yeah, because the one I saw, he and Brett Gelman were having a fight.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, over Brett Gelman's more likable than that guy.
The one guy was like, hey, sweetie, to his girlfriend or wife or whatever, and then, or he called her
it's
hot chocolate or something.
I mean, look, I I got through the three. The third one was the best one, but I can't recommend this at all.
I think I'm at a point in my life.
You want to hate watch a show? Here you go.
I'm at a point in my life where those, like, I used to be when I was younger, I would be like, oh, these are about, like, these, like, cool people that live in New York or L.A.
Yeah.
And, like, now I look at them all, I go, these are all just self-indulgent assholes.
Yeah.
And I just, they find...
Well, you could make this show good, but they just didn't.
You know what I mean?
They could have made this show, like... Well, when people, you know?
Now, I don't hate Lena Dunham the way...
I don't either.
Many people do. I think she had a tweet the other day that was like, what am I going to be for Halloween?
Oh, but oy vey.
And it was like, should I be all of the grandparents from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or should I be Lisa Rinna just hanging out with her kids?
Okay.
And I thought that was funny.
That is funny.
Lena's funny.
And
yeah,
you know,
she's funny on Twitter and things like that, but yeah. Like... She gets a tremendous amount of hate.
She does.
Some of it
yes.
deserved, because she is a little tone deaf.
She is.
But this show speaks to, if you want to say Lena Dunham
yeah.
is in a, she's trapped in a prism of her own self-indulgence or LA hipsterism, this show is it.
But you could have watched Girls and went like, okay, so she kind of lived this life
yes.
on some level, or at least, you know, women, you know, young girls, we liked Girls, but you know what I mean? You could relate to that show in a way,
mm-hmm.
or at least go, hey, you know, hey, maybe we don't live in Brooklyn, but we live in wherever in Detroit and we can relate to this thing. Who the fuck can relate to this thing?
No. And that happens.
You know,
they make shows for
middle-aged people glamping.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to fucking relate anybody in the world. Like I said, You know what would have been more realistic? To have little tiny people go hunt for a magical ring. That is more realistic than this fucking camping show.
Which is what Peter Dinklage is doing on
his
other show.
Well, he'd be better off.
You know what happens is that there's a lot of television shows and movies that are about depressed middle-aged screenwriters who are having affairs.
Sure, yeah.
And those are all written by depressed middle-aged screenwriters who are having affairs.
Well,
it's like, you know what I mean? It's like all this, you know, who's writing these movies?
But maybe that feels real in a way.
Nobody writes a movie about a guy who works at a Salvation Army depot in Hutchinson, Kansas. Like, you know what I mean? They're all about glamping.
Do you want the Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb ratings?
Hit me on those.
Okay. 4.2 out of 10 on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good one. Because the Rotten Tomatoes is 36%.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's been officially canceled. I'm trying to read Wikipedia here.
HBO usually gives you a season to flounder.
Yeah, but I would think there's big... salaries going around on this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Venom got a 30% from the critics and an 87% from the audience.
Well, that's the audience.
Sometimes the audiences are real stupid.
Anything. All right, so here's the ratings in viewers for camping. Episode 1, 544,000. Okay, remember this is HBO number, yeah. So not the greatest number, but that's okay. Episode 2, 404,000. So that's a decrease of about 20%. The third episode, 384,000. So they've shed about 40% of the audience from episode 1 to episode 3.
Because they're unlikable people.
Yeah, it's not good. So
you know why Cheers was a hit?
Yeah.
Because people were like...
People wanted to
I'd like to hang out with Norm and Cliff.
No one wants to go on a camping trip with these people.
That's, you know...
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, Seinfeld, they were kind of unlikable, but they were funny.
Yes, they were neurotic in a way you wished you were or something,
sure.
Or they were
that's, by the way,
sophisticated and sharp.
By the way, the key to any television show
is
create an environment that people want to visit
mm-hmm.
and then give them a reason to visit it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or anchor them in. The environment doesn't even have to be appealing. The mm-hmm. office, you wouldn't want to work in that office.
No.
But if you like the people or you think the people are amusing or whatever, you come back to it.
Yeah.
Shows that blow that up all the time and go, Weeds like blew up their whole setup. You know, like,
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I didn't see a lot of Weeds.
Right. Weeds, but the Weeds was like, every sitcom has to have this.
Yeah.
Environment, crew of people. And either they changed the crew of people or they changed the environment.
What did they do on Weeds?
They like blew up the town like halfway through the show. Anyway, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so camping is bad, and I got where I'm stuck.
I know. The world is on fire.
Sorry to Bother You, I rented, if you want to talk about that. You saw it over the summer, I think. You talked about it.
I saw it a long time ago, yeah.
But it is out now to rent. It's an interesting movie. I recommend you see it, but they make some decisions in that I'm questioning.
Well, yes. And Boots Riley is the... Okay, that is a classic first-time movie.
Yeah.
That is a classic. Now, I don't know if he's going to get another chance to make a movie, because...
I would think he would, because this is pretty good.
It's got the bravado of an open micer who's like, I did 3 shows, yeah. I'm 65 years old, and now I'm going to tell you about the industry. Oh, no. No, it's a first director. It's a first-time director, right?
Yeah.
Because Boots Riley did, like, music videos and stuff. And
well, he's in The Coup. That's a fairly well-known rap group. I mean, not...
But he hadn't made a feature film, right?
Yes, this is
and
a
so,
feature film.
Sorry to Bother You suffers from having all the things he thought he could put into it in one movie. Mm-hmm. And it's got a good setup and a decent premise.
Yeah.
Then he crams it with like 45 other ideas.
Yeah.
And some, not to spoil anything, but some sci-fi elements that don't
if
gel.
If you watch the trailer, it's like the trailer is based on like the first 20 minutes of the movie, which is about a young guy who gets a terrible job at a telemarketing firm and tries to survive that.
Yes.
And then there's 80% of the movie. Or, you know what I mean? Then the rest of the movie, which completely goes off the rails, which is in this dystopian sci-fi setting.
Yeah, this has a third act that launches off into something else.
I'm going to say something here, and let me explain. Did this not resemble like a Planet of the Apes movie? And I know what you're saying. But no, in the sense that it was like, we've created something that we can't stop, and now these apes have...
Oh, like the modern ones?
Yeah, like more of the modern ones.
Well, yeah, I guess in the third half, which had nothing to do with the first half,
right,
about
that's
a telemarketer.
I mean. Yeah.
The premise is, it's a telemarketer who succeeds by doing a white voice.
Yeah.
I could see a very funny movie
it would
about
be a funny
that
movie, yeah.
that didn't have anything to do with those other garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, garbage.
And it's funny, I didn't realize, because this guy was his first movie, who all was in this that you'd recognize, because Terry Crews is in it, Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead is in it, Armie Hammer is in it, and then the white voices are David Cross and Patton Oswalt. Yeah. Tessa Thompson, who's in Westworld.
And she's good.
And Thor and a bunch of stuff.
But there's a whole subplot with his girlfriend's an artist. And
yeah.
And
Detroit.
And she's like a political activist.
Yes.
There's like a whole subplot with that goes in.
Well, we talk about Wokeland.
Wokeland.
That's what we see.
Yeah, here. And the other movie that came out from Wokeland was also overstuffed.
What was the name of that one?
That was called, it's the guy from Hamilton. Anyway.
all right. We'll get out of here. We got to go.
Yeah.
We got to go. You looked that up.
All right.
Tell him on the next one.
Yeah. But these are like real promising, interesting guys.
Yeah.
And David Diggs is the star of that one. And
okay.
Yes.
But yeah, I liked Sorry to Bother You. It was weird in a way.
Blind spotting. Another movie that's really interesting and compelling and then kind of goes a little farther than it should.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not as bad as Sorry to Bother You.
I've been watching...
Crazy digression.
I've been watching Maniac on Netflix, speaking of dystopian futures.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend can't seem to get through that, so we're crawling through that series.
I'm trying to get through the reverse.
In what you watched in one day.
I came home and Amy was watching it, and I just like... Invariably, if I come home from something, she's watching something like real intense or weird. That's just how she's wired.
Okay, yeah.
Or she's watching The Real Housewives or something.
Well, there's
like
that
she either goes triumph or tragedy.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, it's. I think they're doing interesting things with it. I want to stick with it, but it's not a lot of fun from minute to minute. But anyway. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you to Corey Hall for joining us. Thank you to Sal D'Amelio for calling in. SalandBobShow.com, I think is the name of that one.
And look for them in a steakhouse near you.
Yes, they'll be in there. Smoking cigars and drinking brandy and...
Enjoying a
New York strip. Filet mignon.
Nice hanger steak.
All right. We'll catch you next time. Happy Halloween, even though you listen to this, it's already over. We hope you had a good one.
We had no Halloween content.
We have nothing at all. Well, I went to Halloween, and I went to a haunted house.
We didn't talk about, you know, Halloween costumes or
slutty
lobsters.
Girls are sluts. That's your Halloween analysis.
I asked one young lady what she was going to be for Halloween.
What'd she say?
She was like Skeletor.
Okay, well.
And I'm like, no one wants to see
a fat Skeletor.
No, she's not fat. But I'm just saying, you're like, okay.
I'm sorry.
No, you're like, what? Why are you doing that?
I don't know. Anyway. All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Could have gotten in trouble for 10 or 12 things on that show. I should also have potted down my mic and not the background music when I was telling you that, but hey, shit happens. If you made it to the end, hear all of our regrets on the Joel Radio After Show.
How can I get us in trouble in the last 10 seconds?
Thank you for joining me.